Welcome to this podcast by The Rocks Church. We hope you find it challenging and inspiring. For more information, visit therocks.church.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Thanos, Daniel Indrajaya. It's so good to have all of you here this morning. I hope you had a lot of fun, like we had a lot of fun preparing for this. As has been mentioned before, we are in a series at the movies. And for the advantage of those who are here for the first time, let me tell you the reason why we do this series. Because movies are a large part of the culture that we live in today. Movies that are well made can inspire us, they move us, and they can teach us things. Through watching movies, you know about people's point of view, people's worldview, what they're feeling, what they're hoping, their hopes, their dreams, their questions. So movies can become a perfect launching pad for you to have deep, meaningful conversations with your colleagues at work, with your children at home, because that's what great movies can do. Last week, we had a lot of fun doing our very first movie in this series, and that is the Jurassic World, and we had Captain Canada acting like Ranger John. He's very versatile, Captain Canada. And this week, I'm so excited about this. We're going to be talking about the greatest, easily the best movie of 2018, and that is Avengers: Infinity War. How many of you here are a big fan of the Avengers? Raise your hand. Oh, quite a few hands. Well, when I was growing up, my favorite superhero was not one of the Avengers. My favorite superhero was this man called the $6 Million Man. How many of you know the $6 Million Man? Steve Austin. You must be really old. That's it. That's the theme song. Man, $6 Million Man was fantastic back in the day. He was a soldier who got hurt real bad, so the US government replaced most of his body parts with bionic parts, giving him superpower, super speed, super strength, super vision. By the way, talk about super vision, I better be wearing my glasses. And the special effect back in the day was so bad, though, that the CG was so bad. You know what they did to make him look strong and powerful and fast? They make him move in slow motion. I kid you not. So my friends and I, we would play outside our house and we would pretend to be the $6 million man. So we would run really slow like this. And I would hit him like. It's pathetic, I know. You're going to believe me. I'm telling the truth, I swear. All right? So John, you can Google it so that you know what I'm talking about. But since then, special effect, CG, has gone a long way, and the Avengers is one of the evidence of that special effect and computer graphics. Now, how many of you have actually seen this movie, Avengers Infinity War? Raise your hand. Well, some of you have not seen it, but most of you have seen it. Sorry to disappoint you. For those of you who haven't seen it, it's going to be a major spoiler alert today. But it's not my fault. The movie came out 6 months ago. You haven't watched it until now. I don't think you plan to watch it, so I don't think I'm going to be hurting anybody, right? In this movie, the whole universe is under threat by this great, awesome villain called Thanos. And Thanos planned to wipe out half of the entire universe, the population. He believed he was a god who's in charge of the population control. So he planned to wipe out half the universe. And he might just be able to do so if he could collect 6 Infinity Wars to be put on his gauntlet. So it is the job of the Avengers to save the whole universe by stopping Thanos from collecting these 6 Infinity Stones, giving him the superpower to control mind, to control time, to control space, to control dimension, to control soul. And so the fate of the universe is in the hands of the Avengers. I'm going to show you a clip. This clip comes from the very end of the movie. By this time, Thanos became so powerful already. He had collected all the 5 Infinity Stones, and he only needed one more. So the question is, would the Avengers be able to stop Thanos, or would Thanos get the last, the sixth Infinity Stone, and with a flick of his finger, wipe out the entire universe. Let's watch this clip. This is a very, very heavy movie, emotionally. By the end of the movie, more than half of the Avengers were dead. Can you imagine? I know they're gonna come back alive again in the next Avenger installments. My bet is on that time stone. Spoiler alert. But this movie, more than any of the Avengers movie, more than any of the Marvel movies, I believe has the deepest, heaviest, you know, it carries a lot of philosophical, theological issue that they, you know, it brought up. And it's amazing. You know, I had to rewatch the movie again this week, twice. And last week I watched Jurassic World again. This week I watched Avengers twice. Hulda came in and said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Preparing a sermon." I like this series. I think we're going to extend it until December. Is it? Yes. But the major theme of this movie, I believe, is this. Death. Do you know the villain Thanos? His name is derived from a Greek word, Thanatos, which means death. Actually, in the comic book, if you're a fan of the comic book, you would know that Thanos actually falls in love with this character called Death. And that's why he's hell-bent on wiping out half of the entire universe. Death is a universal experience for all of us. But we don't want to talk about it. That's why this movie is very different, very special, because at the end, death wins, and you know, half of the entire universe is basically wiped out. That's the reason why, if you watch any of the Hollywood movies at all, you know, you would know that 99.9% of Hollywood movies, they all end with what? Happy ending. We don't want to talk about death. We don't like to deal with it. Even though we know that the death statistic is pretty amazing, one out of one person dies, right? And still, we don't want to talk about it. But yet, this is something very profound, very personal to every one of us. Death carries with it all kinds of emotion, not just mourning, but sadness, grieving, anger, fear. You've never seen Peter Parker, Spider-Man, so afraid as in that last scene. Mr. Stark, you know, he was dying in the hands of Iron Man. I remember watching the movie for the first time. By the time the credit rolls, everybody was so quiet. Everybody was like silent. They couldn't believe what happened. And driving back from the cinema, Jaden was so angry. That's what death brings, you know, all kinds of emotion. Jaden was so angry with Star-Lord. He thought Star-Lord was the culprit in the defeat of the Avengers. Some of you are feeling that still right now because of the death of your loved ones. Maybe a father, a mother, brother or sister. And until today, you can't deal with the pain of death. Even though Hollywood doesn't really like to talk about it much, but you know who likes to talk about it? Jesus talks about death a lot. The Apostle Paul talks about death a lot, and I mean a lot, all right? This is what Jesus said about death. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Don't read this wrong. It is not blessed to mourn. It is horrible to mourn. It is horrible when someone passed away. It is horrible, you know, when you're experiencing grief, all right? So you're not blessed because you mourn. So Christians, don't go around, you know, telling people, "Oh, you're so blessed because you're sick. You're so blessed because you mourn." No, that's horrible, all right? But the reason why, you got to read the Bible carefully. The reason why they're blessed is not because they mourn, but the reason why you are blessed when you mourn is because you will be comforted. In fact, God Himself will comfort you when you mourn. That's what Jesus said. Jesus talks about it all the time. And the Apostle Paul talks about it all the time as well. Not only because it is a common human experience for all of us, but there's another bigger reason why talking about death is so important to Jesus. It's so important to the Apostle Paul. And this is the reason. Because what we believe about death and what happens after death radically shape how we live our lives. Let me say it again. What you believe about death and what happens after death radically shape how you live your life in this world. So this morning, we're going to look at what Paul says about death. He was writing to a group of Christians in the city called Corinth. And Paul talks about this issue because this is, as I said, a common experience for a lot of people. And it's important that we have the right perspective on it. So if you have your Bible, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. If you have therocks.info, you can go there as well and take your note there. This is what Paul says. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Notice this is the first metaphor that Paul used about death. This body that we have is only a tent, Paul says. Tell me, what are characteristics of tent? The tent is not permanent. It's flimsy, it's temporary, right? Nobody lives in a tent. You only go and you stay in a tent when you go camping and all that. That's what Paul said. Our body, this body that we live in, is only a tent, right? It's very flimsy. It's prone to illness. It's prone to sickness. It's prone to diseases, all right? Young people, young ladies, you know, your skin is not going to be as tight as you have it right now. Let me tell you that. Sid, you know, you're beautiful, but someday you're going to look like KFC. I'm telling you, you know, death, get ready. That's going to happen. Young men, you're not going to be as strong as you are right now because this is a tent that we have, right? It's flimsy. You're going to be weaker and weaker and weaker. Someday your hairline might grow like mine, you know, it might just happen. But Paul says this, but if this earthly tent that we have is destroyed, we have a building from God on the other side of death. This is an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. What are characteristics of building? Permanent, you know, you live in it forever, like this for a long, long time. And it's more solid, right? That's what buildings are. And Paul says, God has prepared for us, you know, to replace this earthly tent that we have. Paul has prepared for us this amazing, you know, wonderful building that is permanent. See, in heaven, you're not going to be a disembodied spirit. You're going to receive a new body. I don't know what it's going to look like, but Jesus had the resurrected body and it was amazing. And we're all going to have this awesome new building, not a tent, but new resurrected body. I don't know what it's going to look like. Maybe I will have an afro in heaven. I hope I'm going to have a six-pack when I'm in heaven. God, give me the right body, please. Right? I don't know what it's going to look like, but I know it's not going to be flimsy. I know it's going to be permanent. I know my new body is not going to have cancer in it. It's not going to have dementia in it. It's not going to have leukemia in it. It's not going to be sadness in it. God Himself will wipe away the tears from our eye. That's what I know. You see, Paul says, you got to understand this. You got to have the right perspective on death. And then he continues. He says, meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. See, suddenly Paul switched metaphor right here. I was told by my English teacher not to mix my metaphor, you know, but Paul did it. He can do it because he's Paul, okay? Paul says, look, you know, our body in this world is a tent that is going to be replaced with a more permanent building. And then Paul says, we are groaning in this world because we don't want to be found naked, you know. We want to be clothed. You know, have you ever woken up in the morning and then you look at yourself in the mirror and you are groaning? Especially as you get older and older like me, like, my goodness, this is really how I look, right? Everything is like, you know, sagging, especially right here in the middle. Hairs popping out of my ears, my nose, and stuff like, ugh, crazy, right? We're groaning. We're longing to be clothed. What is this all about? What is this second metaphor all about? You know, nakedness is our human condition. And I don't think Paul is talking about physical nakedness. You know, in this world that we live in, this is not a perfect world that we live in. This is a fallen world that we live in. Do you know that? When Adam and Eve were first created by God, they were naked. And they were okay with it. They were proud of their bodies. But then, when they fell into sin, suddenly they hid themselves and God covered their bodies. And since then, that's the human condition. That's who we are. We found ourselves naked all the time. We found ourselves like not being adequate for the task that we have. How many of you are longing to be a better husband, to be a better wife? You know, you feel like you're not good enough for stuff. You feel like, you know, you wonder why there is bitterness in your heart. Why there's this you know, sinful longing in your heart. Why is there this all this stuff that you don't really like? But then it's part of you. So you feel naked. You feel ashamed. You feel guilty. And that's why we are groaning. Everybody. I don't care if you're an atheist or if you're a theist. It doesn't matter. Theist and atheist alike, we are all groaning in this world with pain, with suffering, with a feeling of inadequacy, you know, guilt, remorse, all kinds of stuff. That's why we are groaning. And Paul continues on this thought, for while we are in this tent, that's the reason why we're groaning. Because this tent is flimsy, it's weak, it's not perfect. For while we are in this tent, we groan and we are burdened. Because we do not wish to be unclothed. See, that's everyone's of our desire. Maybe you talk to your atheist friend, they think they don't need anything else, they got their life together. No, that's not true. This is a basic human condition. None of us wish to be unclothed. We know, instinctively, we know there's something better out there. There's something more to this life. None of us wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed instead, not with this earthly tent, but with our heavenly dwelling, so that, this is the purpose statement, this is the reason, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. And this is amazing, let me tell you. Because guess what? Our human understanding is this. Life is swallowed up by what is mortal, by death, isn't it? This is what we understand, you know, that life in this world is not permanent. Someday we're gonna die. But Paul says, no, there's this longing inside of us to be clothed so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. That means Paul says, hey, guess what? There is life on the other side of mortality. There is life on the other side of mortality. This life that you live in is not all there is to it. And that's why Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. See, Jesus came to this world to conquer death. He knew the condition, the situation we were in, all of us. You know, we were all naked. We were all in need of something better. You know, we were all groaning in our earthly tent. And Jesus, God Himself, became human being, became one of us. He came to take on the form of human being. He died on that cross to restore the original purpose of creation that God had in the first place. Do you know that? You know, when God created you with eternity in your heart. When God created you, you are created in the very image of God. You are different from all the other creations of God. You have a soul. Do you know that? You have a soul. And this soul of yours is longing, is crying, is screaming for something better. This life, it's not where you find that answer. That's why Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. How do you get that life on the other side of mortality? You get it through believing in Jesus Christ, who has done it all for you. So if you're not a Christian here this morning, I just want to tell you, I'm so glad that you're here. I believe you're here for a reason. Christianity, in case you don't know, is not about performing for God. Christianity is not about doing better and better and better so that God would accept us. No, Christianity is about trusting our Creator. It's about believing in Him, knowing that He knows it all, but we have such limited knowledge, and at that, sinful knowledge because of the fall. But God says, that's all right. That's why I came. That's why I sent my Son, Jesus Christ, to restore what was broken, to bring back the original plan for creation where God wants to live with you for eternity, forever and ever and ever. And Paul continues, now, the one who has fashioned us, that's God. He fashioned you and me to be made in His image. Now, the one who has fashioned us for this very purpose is God. What purpose? The purpose of living for eternity. Who has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Christians, every single one of you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. Not only to help you, you know, in this world, but also as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. So when you ask me, people ask me, hey, Daniel, are you sure you're going to heaven if it exists? I said, of course I'm sure. I'm very sure, not because, again, I think I'm better than everybody else, but I believe Jesus Christ has restored the original plan for creation. He has mended what is broken because of sin, and now I have been guaranteed eternal life. The Bible speaks of eternal life as a free gift for those who believe. And not only that, God puts His Holy Spirit to live inside of us to guarantee. So that inside your heart of hearts, you know when you die, you're going to spend eternity with God in heaven. It's not presumptuous. It's not like, oh, I hope so. But this is something that God wants you to know. God doesn't want you to doubt where you go after you die. Do you know that? Just like I don't want my son to doubt that I love him unconditionally no matter what. How much more God, your heavenly Father, doesn't want you to doubt His love. He doesn't want you to doubt that He wants to spend eternity with you forever and ever in heaven. There is a better life waiting for us on the other side of death. That's why I said at the beginning, what we believe about death and what happens after death radically shape how we live our lives. Radically shape how we live our lives. Yeah? There are two ways for you to live your life. You can live your life as if that's it. This is life. Or you can live your life believing that there is something bigger, something greater waiting on the other side. I want to show you a clip from the movie. Let me set it up first, all right? Thanos was about to get his, I don't know, stone number 4, I think. That's the soul stone. And so he went to this place with his daughter, Gamora. And he was required to do something difficult in order to get that stone. So let's see what happens. Wow. That is one way to live your life. Thanos had to sacrifice something that he loves in order to get that soul stone. And Gamora, his daughter, thought he's not going to get that stone because he loved nothing. And yet, he did it. He sacrificed his own daughter. I don't know if you saw it in that clip, but he was crying as he was doing it. He really loved his daughter. See, I believe even though sin entered the world, human beings are not as bad as they can be. But unfortunately, if you live your life believing that life here on earth is all there is to it, you can very easily sacrifice things that you love for something else that you crave, that you desire in this world, because you believe this is my chance, this is my opportunity, life is now. How many people that you know wreck their own family for their career? How many of you know people ruining their life, their families that they love because of drug or something? You know, that's what you do when you believe that this life is all there is to it. There's one way to live your life, but there is another way to live your life. believing, trusting that there is more to life than meets the eye. This is what Paul says. He continues, therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. You know, this is a temporary life that we live in. When we are away, when we are at home in this body, this earthly tent, that means we are away from the Lord. For we live by faith and not by sight. Two ways you live your life. One is by sight. Everything that you can see with your naked eye, believing that that's it. This is life. So when you are suffering, when you are experiencing pain, maybe that's why you don't believe God, because you believe that that's it. You know, if God exists, why am I going through this? You know, you can't see beyond your suffering. You can't see beyond your pain because you only see life by sight. But Paul says there is a second way to live your life. And that is not by sight, but by faith. See, if God doesn't heal your body now, He will heal your body later. Sometimes He chooses to do it now. Sometimes He chooses to do it later. You got to have the eyes of faith to be able to see that, you see. And then Paul continues, we are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body. Paul says, you know, it's no secret. If you ask me, I know this life is full of suffering, this life is full of pain, and I would rather spend eternity with God, my Creator, my Lord, my Savior, my Heavenly Father. I would prefer to be away from the body and at home to be with the Lord. Paul is not asking us to do mass suicide and all that. Paul understands there's a purpose why we are still in this world. So then his conclusion is in verse 9. So, we make it our goal to please God, whether we are at home in this body or away from it. Paul says, this is how you should live your life, especially if you call yourself a Christian. While you are in this tent, in this body, make it your goal to please God. And you can do that when you understand that you have a good God waiting for you on the other side. When you believe there's a great, good, loving God waiting for you on the other side of death, then you will make it your goal to please Him in this world. All right? And God is so good with the coming of Jesus. He's already given us a foretaste of what heaven, what eternal life is going to be like. So here's the bottom line for all of us here this morning as we conclude. If you can't taste heaven, you will consume anything on earth. If you can't taste heaven, you will consume anything on earth. You know, with the coming of Jesus, Jesus talks about what the kingdom of God is like. Jesus brought with Him joy. So we have a bit of taste of it. We experience a little bit of joy. We know what it's like to have peace in our hearts. We have a foretaste of heaven. We know what it's like to be loved. We know what it's like to love. We know what it's like to trust. We know what it's like to be trusted. You know, we experience heaven here on earth. Theologian calls it the theology of already, but not yet. Already, but not yet. Jesus came 2,000 years ago to set the wheel in motion of this sinful world that we live in, so that someday, you know, this motion will continue and continue until we reach the end. Right? But this is unseen. This is unseen. This is what we can see. This is what we can see. That's why if you can't taste, if you haven't tasted heaven, you will consume anything here on earth. Oh, I want that job because that job gives me better pay, more money. Money. Because money makes me feel like I'm worth something. Oh, that girl in the office, she likes me. Even though I've been married for 10 years with my wife, she loves me. She's been great to me, but she doesn't make me like feel like a man anymore. But this lady in the office, she makes me feel good. She makes me feel loved. I want that. I want that bigger house. I want that bigger house because I want that bigger car. I want that expensive holiday. Why? Because I feel like I made it. See, if you don't taste heaven, you will consume anything here on earth. And Paul says, know yourself. find your identity in Christ. You are the Son of God, meant to live for eternity. You are the son of the living God. You are the daughter of the living God. If you don't taste heaven, then you will consume everything on earth. Anything that satisfies your craving, your desire, you just consume, consume, consume. I want more power. Yes, yes, I want more money. I want more relationship. Wonderful. That's what you do, right? I'm going to die after this service, let me tell you. Better drink a bit. Right? And Paul says, guys, this is a tent. Do you know that? This is a tent. It's flimsy. It's fleeting. It's not permanent. It's only temporary. This is forever. This is you. So, you can live your life as if you're going to live for eternity, or you're going to live your life just consuming, consuming, consuming everything that you can consume in this world, believing this life is all there is to it. Let me tell you, the world will want you to believe that this world is all there is to it. Yeah? The world will ask you, take more, take more. Whatever you can take, take more, take more. The better you take, the better. Because he who dies with the most toys win at the end. That's what the world will want you to believe. And Paul says, don't be foolish. Know who you are. Something better waiting for us on the other side. That's why I said at the beginning, how you view death and what happens after death will largely determine how you live in this world. My wife's grandfather passed away last week. He was 102 years old. He was 102 years old. He came in a boat from China to Surabaya in Indonesia as a 17-year-old boy. Atheist. Started working really hard. When he was 19, he felt so sick, the doctor told him he was going to die. A pastor came and visited him in the hospital, prayed over him, and he made a promise that day, if your God can heal me, I will serve your God for the rest of my life. That's what he said. Lo and behold, he got healed. This is him. So from when he was 20 years old, he has been serving God ever since. The photo on the right, that's him preaching when he was 100 years old. He was still preaching when he was 100 years old. He has 5 children. All of them are pastors. He has 8 grandchildren, pastors. Grandchildren-in-law, pastor. I had no intention of becoming a pastor. I was happy as a computer programmer. But when I started dating Hulda, my wife, and then, you know, I went to visit him. He prayed over me. That's it. I had no choice. Seriously, I had no desire, and the desire just came. I'm telling you, Jaden had no choice. Maybe I should just stop sending him to school altogether, you know? But he lived a life that is well lived. He's not rich. He's not powerful by any means. But he's married. He was married to his wife for over, I believe, 70-something years. His wife died a few years ago, 90-something years old. And let me tell you, his philosophy of life, his motto in this world, is that of Paul. For me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I want that to be the philosophy of my life. Because I know, this world is very short. This life that we live is like a drop of water in an infinite ocean of eternity. Don't consume everything that you can consume. in this world. Think about the eternity. God has set eternity in your heart. If you listen to the still small voice of the Holy Spirit, you will know how you're meant to live your life. As a Christian, we are guaranteed eternal life. That's for sure. We are guaranteed eternal life. Doesn't matter what you do here on earth, the sacrifice of Jesus has paid it all. We believe that as a Christian. Salvation is not by works, but by grace. But do you know that God is going to demand accountability from us? God is going to demand accountability on how we use our time, how we use our talents, how we use our gift, our resources, our money. And God is preparing for us this reward in heaven. And finally, when you get to see Him face to face, He will tell you, well done, good and faithful servant, come and join in your master's happiness. Let's pray.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more great resources and to keep yourself up to date, head to our website. Visit therocks.church.